Jokic leading the break.
Look at this guy.
Oh, what a pass, and Green throws it down. Nikola Jokic with a spectacular assist. Still 6:40 to play. Thybulle back in guarding Hyland. Plays catch with Cousins. Long three-pointer. Bang! Bones Hyland from downtown. Hyland looking for Jokic. Can't get it to him. Up top to Barton. Four to shoot. Barton leans in. Back up Hyland. Hyland, three-pointer, puts it up. Puts it in! Bones Hyland does it again.
Yeah, there was contact. It was good defense right up in there.
Jokic drives, trying to... Oh, he put it in! Jokic thought he was fouled. He's screaming. He hit two big threes last night in the fourth quarter in the victory against Orlando. Hyland all alone. Puts it in. Bones Hyland with a three-pointer. Everybody knocking down three.
The Denver Nuggets get the big win in Philly last night in an MVP showdown. How about that one in a comeback, man? 114-110 for the Nuggets. Found a way to get it done. And this was an interesting night. You know, this was a... You certainly, when you look at it, obviously the storyline is going to be Joker MVP goes in against Philly, the other MVP guy. You know, but hold on. We got breaking news here, Jays. It's just left and right. Obviously, we got the Randy Gregory stuff. I got to get to it. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos hitting us up with some more breaking news. If we have it. Breaking news. There it is. The Broncos are re-signing Josie Jewell to a two-year deal. So we kind of wondered about that move. It felt like it was going to happen at some point, but there we go. The Broncos getting that deal done, and Josie Jewell will be a Bronco, at least for the next 2 years. He was having a great start to the season last year until he got hurt. So we're going to try to get Zach Stevens on at 1:30 today. Talk about this Randy Gregory thing, the switch, very public switch for Randy, so very interesting. But I got to get into the Nuggets side of things because that was a marquee victory for Denver last night. That's exactly what you want to see. And let's just get to the side story here. 500 people were at that game last night to support Bones Hyland. 500 people that he knew. He has a great following. 4 years ago, get this story, 4 years ago, Bones Hyland was forced to jump out of the window of his Delaware home as it became engulfed in flames. Then he injured his right knee. Firemen saved his life. He did lose, I believe, a cousin and his grandmother in that fire. But the firemen were there at the game. So kind of a cool thing overall. Bones Hyland tweeted this out. I could write a book. This is why I smile every day. This is why I bring joy every day. This is why I am Bones Hyland. Thankful for you, my Lord, who brought me out of the worst situations. They told me I wasn't going to be able to play basketball again. God had other plans. So, and Bones had a night. I mean, he'd had a night. He had 21 points. He played 31 minutes. He was all over the floor, coming up with big shot after big shot. Yeah, Joker had the stats, but I think as far as the, you know, the kind of emotional appeal, I think we're going to look at that and say, Bones had the night. Congratulations to Bones Hyland, to the Nuggets, to Nikola Jokic. So what does that do for the MVP watch? Let's take a look at it. The Kia race to the MVP ladder, courtesy of NBA.com. Embiid missed a chance to move up. They were up 14. I think you have to look at that. And if I'm an Embiid fan voting on him right now, I think his stock just went way the hell down. You're up 14. You got James Harden. Let's not forget this. You have James Harden. The Nuggets have Bones Hyland, and we think Bones Hyland is great, but he's a rookie. He's a rookie right now, and we still have yet to see him take that next step. So if we're going to talk about the supporting cast and everything, then you're certainly looking at it saying, well, Philly had their chances. I mean, that was their chance to close this thing out last night. But instead, the Nuggets come all the way back. You have Nikola Jokic doing his thing. Bones Hyland stepping up. Obviously, you need a guy like Bones in that situation to play well for you. Because I don't think you win if you don't have at least somebody being a supporting cast member for the Joker. We've talked about it all season. You know, without Porter, without Jamal Murray, Joker needs some help. And he got it last night. So according to NBA.com, check this out. They have Nikola Jokic ranked right now as the leader in the MVP race. I mean, come on, folks. If you're Joel Embiid, you have James Harden. You're up 14 and you don't close that thing out? Get out of here with that. That was a big thing. So how many games are left? Yeah, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I guess I could have done some math there. Like 13 games left. So we got a stretch. You got a big stretch here. So again, it's not done yet. It's not written in stone. But it's feeling pretty close. And again, according to NBA.com, the Kia watch here, the MVP watch, you are looking at this situation, and you got to feel pretty good about the Joker at this stage. Joel Embiid, obviously second in this race. He's averaging 29.7 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game. 29 and 11, those are his big numbers. Well, put those up against Joker. 26 and 14. Joker has the numbers, folks. He has the rebounds. Obviously the assists. He's averaging 8 assists per game. And he's doing it with no real supporting cast. I mean, look at the difference. You have James Harden and Joel Embiid, two MVP caliber players. You have the Joker. And even if Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are there, don't give me this, hey, they're MVP caliber players too. Because they're not. I mean, it's just, they're not. At this stage, you're looking at it saying, even if those guys were in, Joker's still by far the best player on the team. Harden and Embiid could probably compete against one another. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So you're getting the bench production. You're getting Boogie Cousins mixing it up with James Harden. So that was great. What a win for Denver. Now the standings are starting to get interesting here. Because in the Western Conference, Denver has just been stuck in that sixth spot. They're not moving up. They're not moving down. They're a game and a half behind Dallas, game and a half behind Utah. So still very much an opportunity to climb up. But, you know, Dallas has kind of been mirroring their schedule, their win-loss schedule. So if the argument is, well, you got to have a better record, and I was going to use that. If you're putting him up against Joel Embiid, which I think it's the tight, that's the race. You know, that's the race at this stage. It's Joker, it's Embiid. I mean, Giannis is probably in that mix, John Morant's in that mix, but I do believe that Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid are pulling away in this race. So if you want to compare the two, then you just look at the records. Okay, Philly's third in the Eastern Conference, 41 and 26. Denver's sixth in the Western, 41 and 28. That just kind of goes to show you that the Western Conference is a little bit better. Phoenix obviously has already clinched playoff berth. And you got Memphis at 47 wins. Miami is leading the East, and they're behind three Western Conference teams as far as the win total goes. So I think Joker definitely helped his stock, but you got to do it for 13 more games. How big would that be for the Nuggets, for Joker to get another MVP? It's starting to feel like it could be a reality now, but the numbers have got to keep going. So congratulations to the Nuggets. I absolutely love Bones Highland. I'm very curious to see how his career progresses because there's one night, like last night, I'll look at him and say, man, he is so unique. He has the range of Steph Curry. Did you see some of those threes he's taken? He's a couple feet behind the regular three-point line, just throwing it up. But he could also take it at this young age. I mean, Steph Curry was a shooter in his rookie year. He's a shooter now, but he can still take it. He can still drive. He can still do some really crafty things. The fact that Bones has that confidence, I mean, nothing shakes this kid. Nothing at all. He loves the limelight, too. And in kind of a, I don't know, in kind of this friendly, awesome way. Not really this cocky kind of way, just fun. I'll be curious to see how he works out. I'm not going to sit here right now and say, oh, the Nuggets have another franchise player. I don't know that. Some games, I'll tell you, no way. I think maybe he'll be really good. He'll be a fun player for Denver. He'll probably stay in Denver for 5-6 years and be kind of a role player. And he'll be a fan favorite, kind of like a Wilson Chandler. Not that they're comparable as far as players, but as far as how good their careers might be. But then I watch a game last night, and I think Bones could turn into the darling of the NBA. That's how good I think this guy could be. So his ceiling's extremely high. But there are, again, as rookie year, you're going to expect this. So hats off to Tim Connelly and Calvin Booth yet again, finding another player that, you know, whether or not it works out to the extent of a Joker or Jamal Murray, still right now, he has helped you in a lot of games this year. You haven't leaned on him, but he certainly helped you in a lot of games. So it's helped you keep, you know, above water. And now the Nuggets trying to pull away in those standings, at least maybe lock up a fifth spot. 41-28, you know, we said, hey, can they stay above 500? And now the interesting thing is, so you're hearing 50-50 on Jamal Murray. I haven't heard anything new on Michael Porter Jr. We'll try to get Chris Dempsey on the show tomorrow. That'll be my last show for the week because we have March Madness rolling. Officially, the tournament starts kind of today or tonight. You got the Wyoming Cowboys going up against the Indiana Hoosiers. That's a simple poll question for us today, Jades. Bottom line, who's winning, Wyoming or Indiana? Who's punching a ticket? They already punched a ticket, but really punching the ticket to get into the official dance against St. Mary's on that would be on Thursday, right? I guess, or Friday. I don't know how they play that out. Probably Friday. Who do you think? And then I asked the side question. Ooh, look at that, Jades. 80% saying Indiana. 80% got the Hoosiers winning this thing. While 20% with the Cowboys. I did ask the question on Twitter as well. If you're a Rams fan, are you rooting for Wyoming tonight? Now, some of you hear that and you throw up in your mouth. But you should be rooting for them. You know why? Because the national media, the national perception of the Mountain West is not good. They are laughing at the fact that the Mountain West got four teams in. They're laughing at you. So you want a great showing by this conference. I mean, there's no guarantee that CSU is getting past Michigan. That is going to be a tall task. So you need as many victories as you can get. If you can get every team out of the first round, or at least in Wyoming's case, win a game against a well-respected team in Indiana who's won some very good games, then I think you'll be feeling pretty good about yourself. We're going to talk about that. I got Cody Tucker coming up next of 7220sports.com. He's our Cowboys insider. We'll see what he has to think. The game time's not that far away. Jeff Linder and company, I think it's got to be a big night for Graham EK. I think that's got to be the guy that takes it to the next level. 19 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Go vote on our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's winning? Pretty simple one today. Indiana or Wyoming? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, big one tonight as we get set for the men's basketball championship East Region First Four, a chance to go play St. Mary's in the thick of the bracket, the Wyoming Cowboys, Indiana Hoosiers going at it tonight in Dayton, Ohio. Joining us from Dayton right now is our guy Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Cody, my man, how are you?
I am absolutely exhausted, Brady. How are you?
Hey, you know, I'm sitting here in the studio. I'm not flying all over the place, so I can't complain at all, man. But it's got to be exciting for you. This is a big moment for Wyoming.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, if you would have told me 2 years ago the Wyoming Cowboys would be in the NCAA tournament this year, I would have thought you were absolutely out of your mind. So they have arrived way earlier than anybody expected. Jeff Linder's done just an incredible job, and where would you rather be on planet Earth than Dayton, Ohio?
That's exactly right, my friend. You talk about Jeff Linder, though. Yeah, what were the expectations? Because obviously we know him well here. We got to see him for about 4 years, really grow the UNC program, brought in some great players, built a great staff. So I knew he would be successful, but I didn't know that that would ever translate into March Madness necessarily. Because that's easier said than done. You see teams all over the country winning 23, 24 games and not getting in. What was the expectation the day Jeff Linder was hired?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know. I mean, we saw what he did at UNC, and then, you know, obviously no offense to Northern Colorado, but you think to yourself, if you can do that in Greeley, you're special. And
right.
We found out really quick that Jeff Linder's basketball IQ is phenomenal, but my favorite part about him is his egoless approach to the game. He goes with whatever works against whatever team they're playing. He's not set in his ways. There's not a Jeff Linder offense. Last year, they pick and rolled like crazy with Marcus Williams, who, of course, was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year and then bolted for Texas A&M. He didn't have a Marcus Williams this year, so instead he turns Hunter Maldonado into a point guard and has him back guys down, and now he plays through the post. And, you know, last year we saw it perfectly against San Diego State in the Mountain West Championships. He knew they couldn't run with the Aztecs, and they didn't. They got blown out both times during the regular season, so they slowed it way down and played a meticulous game and darn near beat the Aztecs at their own game. So I love that approach to it, and maybe I love that approach because I cover Wyoming football too, and I've seen a stubborn head coach for the last few years that loves to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball, and it doesn't matter what the front looks like, and Jeff Linder just doesn't do that.
Yeah, he's innovative, right? And that was even impressive to me because I knew here at UNC, and you're kind of seeing it with Steve Smiley too. It was about spacing, it was about passing the ball quickly, and it was about getting up quick shots and shooting, having shooters. Linder has really impressed me with the fact, because what Wyoming is doing, and not to say they don't have some shooters, it's just a completely different style than what we saw at UNC.
Yeah, I mean, Graham Ike and Hunter Maldonado, well, Graham Ike all by himself, Jeff Linder said yesterday, has 400 more touches in the post than the next closest team in America, and that's Purdue. So it just shows you, you know, he makes no bones about where the offense is going through, and your job is to beat it. And that's what the Cowboys have done. I mean, if you think about it, Brady, this team was picked to finish tied for eighth with New Mexico in the preseason voting.
Wow.
There were no expectations this year. Marcus Williams is gone, the sky is falling, and all Jeff Linder does is win 25 games.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I don't know what the expectation, like you said, the expectations from the national media, from the Mountain West media even, was hey, let's see this team, see if they can stay out of the basement for the most part. But here they are with an opportunity. And I'll tell you know, 2 weeks ago, I thought they'd even be in a better position. And I know the season didn't end exactly how they wanted it to, but they were able to put up a good enough resume to get them in. Cody, were you shocked when Wyoming was announced? I had a feeling they were getting in, so I wasn't shocked, but I wanted to get your thoughts.
I got a little scared when Richmond stole. They stole a spot, of course, winning their conference tournament, so that got a little sketchy. And then even Jeff Linder admitted when he saw that CSU, or when he saw that Boise State got an 8, he thought, uh-oh, CSU might not have, you know, he didn't know if they were going to finish ahead of Boise State, so he said once CSU got the number 6, he said, okay, now we're back in business. But I tell you what, Michigan was another hit to the ticker when we saw Michigan go up. And, of course, to UW's credit, they decided to have a party. And it was very much up in the air whether this team was going to punch their ticket or not. So they took the chance. They had a party. They invited the community. There were hundreds of people inside the ballroom at the Gateway Center in Laramie. And, man, when that name popped up, it was a really exciting moment for these guys. And, you know, Jeff talks about it all the time. You know, we saw it in Las Vegas with the Final Four teams that were alive in that conference. They're all old. CSU's old. San Diego State's really old. Boise State's really old. Wyoming has 4 COVID freshmen and a true freshman in the 7-man rotation. They are not very old. So, you know, they've really arrived way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, no question. I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at this saying if you can keep the bulk together here, the group together, you're going to be able to do this maybe all over again and maybe more so. Talk to us about Indiana, you know, kind of the game plan going up against some of their studs. Obviously, they have won some big games this year. They've certainly found ways to do it. They have some very good players on this team. They've also dropped games where you scratch your head and go, huh? How did that happen? So I guess it's Wyoming, I suppose, is kind of like that, too, the tale of two different teams. If you're getting their best on each side, man, you're going to have a heck of a game.
Yeah, so the thing that's crazy about it is the way Wyoming plays is actually very much the style of the Big Ten Conference. Throw it down in the post, bang away, let it go through your big man, and have your guards make some plays. And that's exactly what Indiana does. Trace Jackson Davis is their big guy, 6'9". He is really a stud in the paint. He averages better than 18 a game. He's also a lefty like Graham Ike. And something that was really impressive to me, Brady, is right after Wyoming's name popped up on the screen on Sunday, Graham Ike went right to his phone after a quick little celebration, and I asked him what he was looking at, and he said he was looking at who he was going up against, and he had already done a scouting report on Trace Jackson Davis. So he's very much looking forward to this battle with one of the best big men in the country, and Xavier Johnson's a really fast guard for the Hoosiers, and he's 6'3", Hunter Maldonado 6'7", and from the sounds of it, he's going to try and man up on Hunter Maldonado tonight. So I like Wyoming's odds there with Maldonado backing down the much smaller Johnson, and he's really good. But Race Thompson is another X factor for Indiana. You know, they're your typical tough, strong, quick guards. You know, Big Ten team. You got to be a tough team to get through a Big Ten schedule, and they finished 20-13 overall. And so, you know, a blue blood, the whole nine. There's a ton of Indiana fans here. We're not far from the state of Indiana, so. They haven't been in the tournament themselves since 2016. So their fans are, although the players feel like they got shunned a little because of how well they played in the Big Ten tournament, their fans are excited too to be here because it's been a minute. And when you're Indiana, you don't have lapses where you miss the tournament this many years in a row.
Yeah, I know there's more of a sense of urgency with Indiana every year for them, but especially when they get in, it's like, okay, we're back. We got to take advantage of this. So certainly a lot of pressure on them. Don't you kind of feel like there's zero? I mean, I know Wyoming ended up overachieving compared to what their predictions were at the beginning of the season, but what are, you know, I mean, are they coming into this game feeling like they have house money? Is there really realistic pressure? Where are you at with that?
I think it is house money, but I also think that's a fine line. It's not, hey, we're just happy to be here. Let's get our brains kicked in. It's not. I'm not sensing that situation whatsoever. I'm sensing that, hey, we have a huge moment here, but we also realize that this is a huge moment toward the future of this program with so many young guys on the roster. I mean, you can imagine what this would do for a young team because, like Linder said, the old teams win in March. There's a lot of old teams in this tournament, and the Cowboys just aren't one of them. So you'd have to imagine this is just going to be so, so beneficial for them to play in. And to be honest, I believe Wyoming's a 4-point dog right now.
Yeah.
They are, I don't think anybody thinks that Indiana is just some monster. This is not David versus Goliath by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I feel like we've got an evenly matched situation here. And in fact, watching some national stuff this morning kind of feels like it might be trending the other way, where maybe Indiana perhaps overlooking Wyoming, and Wyoming might be able to sneak this one out. And again, I'm with you. It seems like it's a fairly evenly matched matchup here tonight.
I agree. And I, you know, also looking forward, if Wyoming were to win this game, they would play St. Mary's in Portland on Thursday. And after watching Colorado State and St. Mary's, I kind of like Wyoming's odds in that if they can get to Portland. So obviously one game at a time here, and it's going to be good. It's going to be tough. You wouldn't imagine it any other way. Every Wyoming game seemingly this year came down to the wire, and I don't expect anything different tonight.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. I think it's going to be one of those tight games. Graham Ike, I look at him, and I know Hunter, I guess you could make the argument that either one of them makes this team go, depending on how you want to talk about it. But Graham was so dominant in so many games. I mean, 90% of the games. But it does seem like, Cody, in those games where he's just not sinking, he's not getting the ball out of his hands quick enough for a pass or a quick shot, those are the games where I feel, as you said, that's their strategy. Get the ball down in the paint, see what Graham can do. But when he's, I don't want to say slow to make a decision, but hesitant, it does seem like the Cowboys struggle.
Yeah, you know, I asked UNLV about that. I asked them after the game how they've been so successful against Graham Ike, and they said, you know, just make him shoot over you. Make him work outside a little more, and that's exactly what they did. When he actually goes up and under, he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
It just has not happened of late, and honestly, when you talk to Jeff Linder, it's kind of the way they've been calling games against him. He's a bull in a china shop. It's really easy to get fouls and start piling up the fouls. And he has played so inconsistent over the last month, but also the focus is on him, and he's not getting to the free throw line. He was leading the country in getting to the free throw line 8.5 times a game, and he averaged 3.6 trips in the last seven games. I mean, that's huge. That's a huge, huge difference. So he needs to have a Graham Ike-like performance tonight on offense and defense, because let's be real, Mladen Armas played really well against EK in Las Vegas, and he was, to me, the difference maker for Boise State in that win.
Yeah, no question. You're 100% right. I'll be curious to see how he plays tonight in this one. But I like the spread here. I do. I love Wyoming in this game. 4.5, and we both agree, I feel like this is a little more evenly matched than the national media perhaps letting on. I don't even think it would be necessarily a gigantic upset. I just think that Indiana has they have the prowess, right? They have the Hoosiers, you know, the background. So they get in, and if they're going up against a Mountain West team, you know, nationally, people are going to look at that and say, oh, Indiana's got it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't feel like even Wyoming fans, if they win tonight, of course, Wyoming fans are going to be thrilled. But I don't think that's going to be one where you put it in the memory bank and go, remember that time when they beat Indiana? I don't think that's the case. I mean, you talk to Wyoming fans now, they'll go, remember in 2002 when they beat Gonzaga in the first round? That one's still huge. But, and this one will be huge too, but it won't be huge like that. This is not Bob Knight's Indiana Hoosiers. And that's no offense to them. They're building under Mike Woodson. He seems like a heck of a coach. And he's an alum, too, and he's doing a really good job there. He kept that core together. They could have all transferred when he came in. So they're building, too. They're still younger, but they're not the Indiana. You're not scared of that logo on their uniform like you would have been, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Cody, my friend. Okay, so I asked this side question. I asked the Rams fans. You probably saw it. I said, are Rams fans rooting for Wyoming? Because we know the rivalry is thick. We get that. But come on, you got to be rooting for each other now, because we're all hearing it. We got to stick together. The national media thinks the Mountain West Conference is a joke for having four teams in. In fact, I'm hearing a lot of national guys say they're rooting against all Mountain West teams just to prove their own takes right. So if I'm a Rams fan, I am absolutely putting the rivalry aside, but for a day or two, I'm pulling for the Cowboys to win, because this is about the conference.
Yeah, you know, I've told you 100 times how I feel about the Colorado State Rams, but I absolutely think they need to take care of business against Michigan, because they're the better team. I think CSU was the best team in the Mountain West all year long. I know Boise State and B.J. Raines wouldn't agree with that take, but CSU was the best team, and I think they should beat Michigan. And I think I'm usually not a conference fan myself, but I think everybody should be pulling for everybody. The Mountain West needs this. They need to win. They've been going to bowl games and winning bowl games, and they've been proving themselves on that side. It's time to win a couple of these and start proving that they're right and start continuously getting four or five teams into this thing.
Yeah, this is how you do it. You got to prove it right now. I was cracking up today because I'm trying to make sense of this. Mr. Kisla of the Denver Post today says the Rams are essentially said they're a fake six seed because they're a dog in this against Michigan. I don't know what that even means. They're a fake six seed. I compared it to if the Los Angeles Rams are a dog in their first game of the season, does that mean they're a fake Super Bowl team? Like, get out of here with that. You are what your seed is. You are what your record is.
Yeah, I think CSU deserved a six seed. I think they're the best team, and they have the best players, the most depth. I think they're going to do great. I really do. I have believed in that team from day one, and I really hope they do take it to Michigan and prove a point. And then what, they have Tennessee next? That's a huge opportunity. Opportunity. So, and you know what? Boise State, too. They're old, and they've been through a lot of battles. San Diego State's absolutely battle-tested. So, you know, if Wyoming can pull up the back end here and pull off a win, I think it's going to be really huge for this conference.
Cody, this is going to be tough for me, too, personally, because I said for the last couple weeks now, I think Tennessee's going to win the whole thing. But I very much wanted to pick CSU to get past two rounds. So I'm in a very tough spot right now. I know nobody really cares about that, but I just wanted you to know. I needed to vent. I needed to talk to somebody.
I don't even fill out brackets. I've never filled one out in my life, believe it or not.
Are you serious? You're just not interested or what?
Well, if it's any of my teams in it, I just pick them to go the whole way, and I know it ain't going to happen, so I just don't even waste my time.
You know what? It's probably a lot less stressful, so I'll give you that for sure, my man. Cody, I know you're there. I know this is an awesome – it's awesome for Wyoming. It's awesome for fans, but for you as well, you beat writers. You guys are there in the thick of it no matter what, win or lose, but it is kind of a perk when they're winning and they get to go to March Madness. I mean, that's got to be awesome for you.
It is. It's cool, and especially for me starting my own thing 3 years ago. You know, I joke about it a lot, but there's actually some real truth to it. 3 years ago, I'd be like, please, please snow so I don't have to go to Laramie to watch this team. I mean, they were so, so unwatchable at moments, and you felt for them, and you pulled for them, but it was like, God, they're bad, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, so... To be here 2 years later, I cannot even believe it.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, hard work for you, by you. And I've followed your stuff a lot sooner than we got you on. Glad to get you on weekly. Enjoy this game tonight. I think you're going to be making another trip, my friend. I think Wyoming's going to pull this thing out.
Yeah, you know what? It's been hectic as hell, but I wouldn't mind another trip, and I've never been to Portland, so let's go check it out.
I hear it's rainy there. I don't know. I'm just taking a guess.
That'll work.
Cody, my man, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, and I tell you what, we'll probably reach out to you when those Cowboys win. We'd probably want to get you on again and preview that St. Mary's matchup.
That sounds good. Thank you, as always, for having me on, Brady. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com, Wyoming Cowboys insider. You got to be pulling for the conference, folks. You just got to be doing it. I'm sorry, Rams fans. I know you want to. My boy Kyle Bell, former running back for the Rams. I love him to death. He's a great guy. He could beat me up with, like, his pinky. His pinky has muscles, if you can believe that. But he's, like, adamant. No, and never, never root for the Cowboys, ever. And you got to admire it. He's consistent with it. Of course, he played, too, so he has a deep, burning hatred of the Cowboys. But I think you got to be rooting for conference teams. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out. I saw the face, Jades. I saw it. We'll get out of here. Let's get a quick break. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Forty-seven minutes after the hour, game beer of the week. Hey, there's no better time to have a game beer than during March Madness. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing. It's a vanilla porter. You can pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. Free wine tastings this Friday from 4 to 7 with selections from the Greg Norman Vineyards. So pretty cool there, the Greg Norman Vineyards. Check them out. Tastings this Friday from 4 to 7. You know, if you're going to get your favorite beverage or whatever before you sit down for a Friday night and watch some more March Madness, you know, maybe try the wine tasting there. Again, that's On the Rocks Liquor. Game Beer of the Week from Breckenridge Brewing. Russell Gage just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jade's just, you've got that watch. What is that? Is that an Apple Watch? Is that what it is? And it alerts you all the time. You were cracking me up yesterday because we're setting up for the road. And every time you're like, no more breaking news. No more. It was great. So I always knew more news was coming whenever I see Jade's like slap his wrist and clear the news. Here we go again. Does this put the Buccaneers kind of like in the driver's seat in the NFC? I mean, Tom Brady makes his announcement on Selection Sunday that he's coming right back, a whole six-week retirement. And then you go pick up Russell Gage. You add him into the mix with Evans and Chris Godwin. Yikes. You know, the trend, I told you about this trend. For the last 5-6 years, it goes Tom Brady loses a playoff game, comes back and wins the Super Bowl. Loses a playoff game, comes back and wins the Super Bowl. It's tried and true. Go look at it. Well, he lost a playoff game. And is he going to come back and win another Super Bowl? Boy, it's sure looking like the Buccaneers are loading this thing up. Do you think that there were calls made to Tom like, dude, listen, Russell's gone. Russell left the end. They're not going to crawl back anytime soon. It's basically, what, two or three teams that you got to worry about in the NFC. You know, Cowboys may be a wild card, but if you're looking at it going, we're one of three. All we got to do is get a great seed. We're going to have to knock off either the Rams at that stage or the Packers. And then we go, we got a shot. We got a shot to get in. Whew, I think it's setting up nicely. I love it, by the way. I think it's great. Have Tom Brady in the league for another 10 years, man. I'm all for it. 49 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We're going to wrap up hour number one. I got guests coming up. I got Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. We're hoping to catch up with Zach Stevens because I haven't even touched on this Randy Gregory thing yet. Good move, bad move. Was it a reach? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Coming up in the second hour, we'll talk to Zach Stevens and Mike Brohard of CSURams.com. So we'll be looking forward to those chats coming up. How about the Broncos situation here that they're going to go at? They got Randy Gregory. He changes it around. He flip-flops everything. And now he's a Denver Bronco. I don't know. Is this kind of an underwhelming situation for Denver? I mean, you got Chandler Jones' name out there. Obviously, Von Miller's name was out there. Is this something where it could be a little bit of a reach? I mean, he flip-flopped. He's had a sketchy pass, too, but he flips. I mean, yesterday we're hearing that Dallas signed him, and he flipped, according to ESPN Today. He agreed to the contract with the Cowboys, but now set to join the Broncos. It was a public reversal of free agency, says Jeff Lugwald, ESPN senior writer, of course, following all things Broncos. The Cowboys announced on their team social media this morning, that he agreed to a deal to return to the team, but multiple sources, multiple Broncos sources, later confirmed that he instead is joining Denver. It's the same basic deal. It's 5 years, $70 million, with $28 million of guarantees largely coming in the first 2 years. According to Jeff Lugwald, the Broncos have done extensive due diligence on Gregory's past suspensions before free agency opened, and the team's personnel department had graded Gregory as one of the top edge rushers available. The team had negotiated throughout Monday with Gregory's representatives in hopes of a deal. So the Broncos are low. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good player. Is he a top rusher, a top edge rusher in the league? No, but I still think you look at it and say maybe the ceiling is pretty high for him. Not sure how I feel about it. You know, when you talk about Chandler and you talk about Vaughn, and then you go to Randy Gregory. It's a little tough. All right, second hour coming up. Whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.